This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
In a week where scathingly satirical TV drama Succession made reference to scathingly satirical cricket format The 100, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
The 100 is Substack meets Masterclass meets The Economist meets The New Yorker.
I feel like we said iconic and you guys are leaning ironic.
Oh, that has to be a little soundbite that we play every single episode. That's so great.
It may take over our previous The 100 jingle, I think. It's much better. You're here with Kat Jones and Dan Libke. And as mentioned, that was a clip from the TV show Succession. You don't watch Succession, do you,
Kat? I have no idea what it's about.
Yeah, so it's basically this drama on HBO. So it's very prestigious and it satirizes billionaires, in particular the Murdochs. And it's about, you know, there's these three awful children and one of them will succeed their awful patriarch running a multi-billion dollar media empire. So it's very funny, but it's very offbeat. And anyway, the opening scene of the first episode of the fourth season featured that clip, which was about the branding of a new business that they called The 100, which was which tickled me quite a lot.
You did well to spot that one.
Yes. Well, I kind of leapt out. All the mindless jargon. I'm pretty sure it was a recreation of how the ECB came up with the format, right?
Yeah, I think so. And they just needed the meets cricket.
Yeah, right. Chuck beats cricket on the end. Yeah, the piggyback off the buzz of Succession. The other interesting fact is that the name of the family in Succession, so the Murdoch equivalent, is the Roys. So I'm assuming Jason Roy is the secret power behind The 100, and so therefore I'm expecting a lot more cash to flow into The 100 this summer.
Well, that's a good theory.
Anyway, it's the final season of Succession, and no word yet on whether it's the final season of The 100.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover Australia's ODI tour of India. Actually, there's not much going on.
It's it's very lackluster. But anyway, there was a tour of India, an ODI tour. They sent a few test players home, dragged a few white ball players over there. And Australia actually won this series 2-1, which is a little bit hard to believe.
It is extremely hard to believe.
We didn't see an awful lot of it though, did we? They weren't at particularly convenient times. One of the matches was very convenient, right?
Well, one of the matches was convenient and it also ended quickly.
Yes. So we didn't have to stay up too late to watch that one. So yeah, that was the second match. That was the best one. If you're back in Australia trying to watch. That was the one where Australia bowled India out in 26 overs for just 117 runs. And then Travis Head and Mitchell Marsh came out and just decided to thump India around a bit and they ran the total down in 11 overs. So, you know, a game of cricket that took place in around 40 overs. I wonder if there's something there.
Maybe onto something, yeah. And that was very convenient for us. And maybe we still went to bed before the end of it.
I think I still went to bed. Like Travis Head and Mitchell Marsh were pretty much had it under control. So you go, have fun, guys. I'm off to bed. I'm tired.
Yeah. And the other two games went a bit longer and made them earn their money. So India thrashed Australia in the first match, right? They bowled them out for 190 odd.
Yep.
Chased it down easily.
Yeah. And then the third game, Australia made 289 and managed to defend it. Apart from that, it was not a particularly interesting series. We had David Warner came back after he went home during the test series. He came back for the ODI series.
Why did he go home?
He had a broken arm or something.
All the facts brought to you by Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
Yep. So anyway, yeah, he came back, but he did come back and just watch the first two games. He just was a spectator happily. Oh, yeah, this looks like fun, Travis and Mitch.
Bring out the drinks.
Yep. I might just contemplate retirement a bit more seriously with you two up the top of the order smashing things everywhere. But he did come out in the third match. He had a hit at four, which was a little bit unusual, I think. I don't think there are very few games where he hasn't opened.
No, that's right. It is unusual. Anyway, good rehearsal for him for what I presume he'd rather be doing, which is the IPL or whatever.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, might as well just stay over there.
But we were delighted, weren't we, that Glenn Maxwell back in the side.
Yeah, Glenn Maxwell made his comeback, although he did the reverse of Warner. So Warner missed the first two and played the last one. Maxwell played the first one, then missed the next two. I don't think he'd fully recovered from his leg injury. Mm-hmm. So, in retrospect, maybe they both should have just been named in the second match because they weren't needed to bat. It was just Mitch Marsh and Travis Head.
It's the sort of thing you do in junior sport to qualify someone for the grand final.
Yep. So, so maybe something to look at for Australia going forward. Mm. I guess the other highlight was poor old Sky, right?
Yes. Yadav, a hat-trick of Golden Ducks. And this is not great preparation for him for the IPL. No. He's usually pretty good in the short format. But he had an absolute mare of a series.
Yeah. So twice out to Mitchell Stark, first ball. Just Stark doing his big fully pitched Yorker thing. And poor old Yadav had no answer. And then in the third match, it was Agar who did it. So there's no truth, however, to the rumour that the BCCI is petitioning the ICC to ban left-handed Australians from bowling. So a shame, because that would be my go-to excuse if the BCCI banned me.
Yes, indeed.
At the moment, I have no excuse for why I don't play for Australia.
Well, it's a good theory again. We've got full of good theories, and we will have a segment on the IPL shortly, but SKY doesn't seem to have harmed his chances. He's still right up there in the betting. He's gonna do well.
Excellent. Good preview for our next segment, which will come after this ad break.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, this episode is sponsored once again by my wasted review of cricket for 2022/2023, and that's now available on Amazon. So you can buy it from Amazon, or you can get it from my online web store if you want an autographed edition. So it's a 230-page book covering all the matches I watched in the summer of 2022-23. So it's the T20 World Cup for the men. India v Pakistan, South Africa and West Indies Tour of Australia, the Women's T20 World Cup, and England's overseas tours of Pakistan and New Zealand. So you can get it in either printed form, like a real paper book that you can put on a bookshelf, or you can get it in ebook form. Both of those are available at your local Amazon store if you search for Dan Lipke's Wasted Review.
And if you've been following Dan on Twitter, you'll see he's been sending out little snippets of his Wasted Review from time to time. And I was particularly tickled by the time that Cricket Australia challenged us all to become pirates asking us to present a gold coin donation to get into the ground. And that was just one moment of one day of one test in the past year, which is just depicted in eloquent, extended, absurdist metaphor by Dan. Yes. And you cannot miss out on this Wasted Review.
Yes, and if you do want an autographed copy, head over to leadcricket.com/store and I will sort you out.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I was approached by a man who I later discovered to be a bookmaker from India. I was fined $10,000 and paid my fine immediately. I realised and accept fully that my actions were naive and stupid. I realised that I was very naive and stupid and stupid and stupid.
Well, here we are. We're back in Cat's Gambling Corner for the first time in a while, right?
That's right. I've dusted off the old betting apps that I only look at once a year when the IPL comes around. I didn't bet on the WPL.
Yes.
But anyway, let's talk about the WPL first, because that was a fantastic debut season.
Yeah, it was great. The Mumbai Indians ended up the winners of the tournament. They finished top of the table alongside the Delhi Capitals. They finished even. And therefore, those two teams did end up playing in the final, which was good for them. Meg Lanning's Delhi.
And it was a close final too. It was a good finish.
Well, it was an interesting final because Meg Lanning's Delhi side, they made 931 batting first, And then Harmanpreet's Mumbai side, they had only three balls to spare when they ran it down. They did have seven wickets in hand, so it was kind of hard to tell. Like, it was the kind of match where if they just lost a wicket or two in those last few overs, the pressure could have really been on them.
You definitely don't want to leave it to the last over in any game, but that makes it better for the fans who are watching.
Exactly.
It was at a dodgy time of night for us.
Yeah.
As always, with these WPL, IPL games.
Yeah. I think my highlight of the final was that both captains were run out, which I think is an interesting trick from both of them. There were no Australians in the Mumbai side, so a bit of a treat for them to finally beat a Lanning captain side. So they would have appreciated that, I think.
I think that's actually a really symbolic of the way cricket's going, don't you think? I mean, there were some internationals in there, you know, Nat Siverbrunt, Amelia Kerr, but it just feels like this is the end of an era for Australia if the team without Australians wins. I like it.
We've had a good run following the Australian women. Anyway, some of the stars for the tournament were, Lanning scored the most runs. She scored 345 runs. Sophie Devine hit the most sixes. She hit 13 sixes in total during the tournament. Eight of them came in one innings. She hit 99 of 36 balls. Absolutely terrifying.
That is insane.
That was the highest score of the tournament as well. So no one scored a century. And I like the fact that she was on 99. She didn't try to pick up the single. She just still kept trying to smash it everywhere.
Fantastic.
Great work from Sophie Devine. Hayley Matthews and Sophie Eccleston were the top wicket takers with 16 apiece. And Izzy Wong, some mentions for Izzy Wong. She took a hat trick.
Wonderful.
And Hayley Matthews was voted the most valuable player of the tournament.
Yeah, really wonderful tournament. We're looking forward to next year and bigger and brighter things, and hold it at a better time for Australians. We want to watch it.
Let's put it on at a decent time. Yeah. Anyway, the Australian players at least now move on to the Ashes. The women's Ashes squad was just named with Phoebe Litchfield, the inclusion, the teenager.
Fantastic. Well,
give a teenager a run in the Ashes, why not?
Yeah.
And that starts the 22nd of June. The test is actually the first one this time. It's the test first, then the T20s and the ODIs.
Yeah, that's a good way of doing it. And it's going to come around faster than we think. It's imminent now.
I hope so, because at the moment it feels like 3 months away, right? Yeah. Almost 3 months away. But anyway, we do have the IPL to fill in time between then. So probably time for you to give us a bit of an IPL preview.
Yeah, the IPL starts in the next couple of days, end of March, start of April.
Oh, before you start, I've got some breaking news here.
Okay.
Namaste, India. I've got some exciting news for you. I'm joining IPL 2023. Yes, that's right. I'm joining an exceptional and passionate team in India.
There we go. That's Steve Smith, full of enthusiasm and natural talent in front of the camera, just sending out a message to everybody.
Gee, it was such a complex message. I mean, he couldn't have memorized it. He had to read it.
Yeah. I want him to do this kind of thing before the Ashes as well. I want him to go, "G'day, Australia. I've got some exciting news for you. I'm joining Ashes 2023. Yes, that's right. I'm joining an exceptional, passionate team in the Ashes."
Well, that'd certainly get the Australians inspired and fired up for the Ashes. Yeah.
You can see why he's such a good leader when Cummins is injured, right? He must get the team, you know, all worked up with that kind of talk.
Incredible.
Yes. Anyway, before we get into your bets, I guess, we should talk over some of the new rules of the IPL, right?
Are they put new rules in again?
Yeah, keep chucking new rules. It's like not quite at BBL levels, where the BBL just chuck in all kinds of random nonsense.
Yeah.
And, of course, nowhere near the 100. The 100's just out of control.
It's
Substack meets The Economist meets... out of control.
Well, I know they're doing DRS for wides, right? That's one of them.
Yeah, and I love this. I think that's fantastic. I have long maintained there should be DRS on pretty much anything. It should be called the do-over review system.
Yes.
Do-over the toss. If you don't like the toss, spend a review, you get to toss it again.
Why not?
That would be amazing. Imagine both teams burning their reviews at the toss because they desperately wanted to win it.
Yeah, that's right.
Fantastic.
And the robots taking over more and more of the umpire's duties. Yep. I mean, this is just the way of the world these days,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I love it. The other highlights are you do get to now name your playing 11 after the toss, after you've used your DRS reviews to change the result of the toss. So I assume this just means, you know, you can choose who your 12th man is. But I think it would be better if you could rename your team after the toss. So, you know, we're now the Delhi Run Chasers, or we're the the Lucknow Super Setters.
Yeah.
That's a better way to name your 11.
That's right. Get the psychology in there.
Mm, yeah. Exactly.
We could get Steve Smith to come up with a name. Yeah. I'm sure he'd be creative about that.
Yep. And the final new rule is the impact player, which I think is just a substitute who subs in at any point, which basically just means, you know, your most shit bowler doesn't have to bat. That's all it ever means.
Yes, that's right.
Anyway, I think it would be better if the impact player, you know, it wasn't a substitute. It was just a player and their runs would be doubled, or every time they took a wicket, both batters were out or something. Give the impact player like superpowers.
Yeah. It has been trialled. The BCCI trialled it in some other games.
Right.
So it has been out there, and obviously they decided it was a good idea for India.
Fair enough. We shall see. Anyway, what are you putting your bets on? Given all these new rules, I don't know whether that changes your mind on anything.
No, well, I haven't actually put my bets on, so I'm happy to take tips at this point if anyone out there has some tips. I'll have to get on with it, though, because last season I missed my chance.
Yep.
Now, people may know I'm no real gambler. I do like the low-stakes, long-shot bets.
A dollar on every match for it being a tie, right?
That's right.
Just regardless of the format?
I always put a dollar on the tie. Just as an example, I've already bet on the Ashes, and I bet $1 on the Ashes being a draw 0-0. and also on England 5-0.
Oh, okay.
So I've got those two bets already in the can. Anyway, we're barracking for RCB again, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Maxwell's
team.
We always go for Maxwell's team. So the Royal Challengers Bangalore. Maxwell, top run scorer.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a bet on that at 6-1.
Oh, okay. That's shorter odds than
shorter
I would have
odds than usual. But I mean, I always put a bet on Maxwell.
Yeah.
But I also have a bet on him being the top wicket taker.
Yeah, that's
a better bet. That's at 51.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. Now, if I'm wanting to bet on who's going to win the entire tournament, I'll go with the longest shot.
Yep.
And the lowest chance, according to the betting, is the Punjab Kings.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a bet on the Punjab Kings to win the entire tournament.
Yep.
And then I always put a bet on the top run scorer and the top wicket taker. So I usually have a multi on as well. I haven't decided yet what that will be. But just to keep it simple, top run scorer for the tournament, I've gone with Quinton de Kock.
Yes.
And I have actually looked at the numbers here, and I think he's a good chance. And, and also a reasonable bet at 17.
And we will come back to this in the muller, but de Kock is in pretty good form at the moment, so I think it's a good timing.
He was fabulous last season as well. I mean, but Joss Butler was a favourite, and of course, who was the second favourite?
Virat Kohli. I'm surprised. I'm disappointed Virat wasn't number one. He'd be fuming about that.
So I'm going to steal lots of money from the people who are putting bets on Virat Kohli for anything. Anyway, and then top tournament wicket taker, you know, it's Rashid Khan's the favourite. Mm-hmm. So I'm not betting on Rashid Khan, but it has to be a spinner. So I've got some money on Kuldeep Yadav at 17. And, you know, I was a bit tempted by the second top favourite, Virat Kohli, but did not put a bet on Kohli. Feel free to throw your money away, people, if you want to put a bet on Virat Kohli.
Yeah, and it's not that we don't think Virat Kohli could actually be the top run scorer.
Oh.
It's just that the odds are too short.
Like
you should not be spending your money on something with odds that short.
Exactly.
Anyway, if you're betting on the IPL, good luck to you, and bet wisely.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week, the funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is gonna join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller reward.
All right, it's time for the Moeller Award, which celebrates the ridiculous and the excellent in cricket. So this week's nominations, what do you have first, Kat?
Yes, we have the pitch. We're going to nominate the pitch, or perhaps we're not going to nominate the pitch. We're going to talk about the pitch at least. And the pitch for the indoor test was changed from shithouse to below average.
Yep.
It was rated poor, and then there was a protest from the BCCI and it went to below average.
Yes, isn't that good? What a very unexpected turn of events.
Well,
it feels
kind.
In no way coerced.
No, not at all. Yes. So we'll be seeing lots more matches at indoor in the future.
Yes.
Well, maybe not, but at least indoor they passed.
Yeah, at least there will be no more poor indoor cricket, right?
That's right.
All right, my next nomination is Adam Gilchrist, because a rumour went around on social media. There was like a list by CEO World of the top 10 richest cricketers in the world for 2023, and Adam Gilchrist was named number one, worth $380 million. He was the richest cricketer in the world.
Good
and
on him.
This went very rapidly viral, made all the news services, and Gilly had to come out and say, actually, no, that's not me. It's a mysterious namesake who founded F45, which is some kind of gym franchise.
Right.
And this other Adam Gilchrist is apparently worth $380 million. No news yet on what the cricketer / commentator Adam Gilchrist is worth. So, yeah, but presumably less than $380 million.
Mm.
So the actual real richest cricketer is Sachin Tendulkar, or at least a person named Sachin Tendulkar who has founded a gym. So
throw Adam Gilchrist an extra million if you have yeah. 380 yeah. in your back pocket.
Yeah, feel a bit sorry for him.
So our next nomination, New South Wales men's cricket team. They finished the Sheffield Shield season completely winless.
Yeah, so it was only their second winless season. The other one was in 1938-39, which was probably a bit of a premonition of something terrible about to happen in the world, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is the end of the world if New South Wales is winless, and hopefully we're not on the brink of another apocalyptic event as we were in 1938-39. And congratulations to Western Australia who smashed, well, beat Victoria.
Yes. I assume all the New South Wales players were just too busy preparing for the World Test Championship final. I guess that's what happens.
That's right.
Finally, my final nomination is the T20 between South Africa and the West Indies. So this is the one featuring Quinton de Kock that I mentioned earlier.
Is this one where they scored a bazillion runs?
Yeah. So West Indies made 5 for 258 off their 20 overs. Nonsense score. South Africa then reached 4 for 259 in 18.5 overs. They had an over up their sleeve. So Johnson Charles, the man who's named after a former England Prime Minister and a current England King, he scored 118 off 46 and lost. He wasn't even on the winning side because de Kock, as we mentioned, hit 100 off 44 balls.
Oh.
A very silly game. It was the first T20 in which more than 500 runs were scored.
It's a shame they didn't bat first. Imagine what they might have scored then.
They were robbed. Yeah, that's kind of bizarre, right? I mean, when I was a boy, 258 plays 259. That's a high scoring ODI. dating myself, I know, but still.
It's a shame we haven't got some kind of push for much, much smaller bats or something that will suddenly reduce this dominance of bat over ball.
Yes. Well, maybe that's what the impact player will do.
Make them play with cardboard bats, I say. I think the cardboard bats are more sustainable than the wooden bats.
Yeah. Yep. Well, let's get on to it. All right. So who wins the muller this week? Is it that T20 match? Is it New South Wales men's cricket team? Is it Adam Gilchrist, or is it the BCCI for their successful protest?
Mm-hmm. I think it's probably, let's give it to Adam Gilchrist.
Yeah, he needs something. He's so poor. He's impoverished.
He might be able to sell the muller and drum up a bit of cash.
Exactly, yes. All right, well, congratulations to Adam Gilchrist. You've been listening to Dan Lipke. I'm at Lieb Cricket on Elon Musk's Twitter.
And I'm Kat Jones, and I'm at CricketBatCat. I don't know who owns Mastodon.
Yes, no one.
Anyway.
No one. That's the whole point of it.
The whole point of it.
It's free it's for just, everybody.
It's crowdsourced, and we're both on Mastodon with the same names.
Yeah, you can also follow us on Can't Bowl Throw. That's just on Twitter. Also on Facebook, where you search for Can't Bowl, Can't Throw. And we will see you all next week.
Sports Social Podcast Network.